Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Nedarim daf Nun. We left off on daf Memtes Amud Beis toward the bottom of the page, 2, 4, 5 lines up from the bottom of the Amud. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Alei Hashalom. We thank Dr. Landerer very much for his continued sponsorship of this year. So today we are going to discuss a couple of topics. First, we're going to continue talking about Rabbi Yehuda. So if you recall, we had started discussing Rabbi Yehuda yesterday, Rabbi Yehuda whose countenance shone, he was radiant, and a bunch of people accused him of being radiant for different things, and he always kept giving them a little bit of a smokescreen, right? So that Rabbi Yehuda was really radiant because Chachmas Adam Torah Panav, because he learned so much Torah, but he was a very humble person also. So he tried to attribute his radiance to the fact that he was always able to relieve himself on a very predictable schedule. He was accused of being Megadle Chazirim, Malve Baribis, whatever, but really it was because he learned Torah. Today we're going to talk about the poverty in which Rabbi Yehuda lived and how he and his wife used to share a single cloak, and they used to sort of, they used to take turns going out in public. The discussion of great poverty is then going to transition us to one of the most famous sugyas in all of Shas, which is the sugya of Rabbi Akiva and how he married the daughter of Kalba Savua, and how Kalba Savua didn't like the shidduch because Rabbi Akiva used to be a bum, and therefore he was mother of Rabbi Akiva from being Nana and his own daughter from being Nana in all of his nechasim. And what happened with the story about Rabbi Akiva becoming a great Talmud Chacham, and what happened with the neder after Rabbi Akiva did become a great Talmud Chacham, we are then going to talk about, going on to the bottom of Nun Amud Aleph and Nun Amud Beis, we're going to talk a lot about how Rabbi Akiva became very, very wealthy. There were a number of sources of wealth that Rabbi Akiva ultimately had, only one of which was all of the money of Kalba Savua. And then we're going to get back to a discussion that we began in our Mishnah, which is that if a person is noder from Tavshil, that we had said that the person is not allowed to eat things that are ordinarily eaten with bread, because Tavshil connotes that which is eaten with bread, whereas he is allowed to eat things which are solid, because things which are totally solid, they're not ordinarily eaten with bread, is not considered to be a tavshil for the purpose of the neder. And that is what we are going to conclude today's daf with. So again, we left off yesterday, Memtes Amud Beis, 5 lines up from the bottom. Debitu, the first word on the line is sana, and we are going to start there. Debitu de Rav Yehuda, Nafkis Naktis Imra. She went out to the shuk and she bought some wool of the glima duhutvai, and she made a superior cloak. So when we say that she made a superior cloak, the Rosh explains that it wasn't really a superior cloak. We're going to see that they were so poor that they used to share the same cloak. So how fine could the cloak have been? The Rosh says that it was superior in a relative sense. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda was so impoverished, he had nothing. So from Rabbi Yehuda's perspective, this cloak was a very superior cloak. So his wife went out, bought the wool, and made the cloak. Kadnafket l'shuka michzibe. When she would go out to the marketplace, she would cover herself with a cloak. The kadnafik Rabbi Yehuda litzluye have a michzi umatzli. And whenever Rabbi Yehuda would go to shul, he would use that same cloak. They didn't have even 2 cloaks, so he would use the same cloak, and he would use it to go out to shul and to daven. V'chada michzi bei, having mavarech baruch she'atani me'il. And whenever he would put on the cloak, he would make the bracha of she'atani me'il. And the Ran points out, because it was so chashuv in his eyes, he viewed this little humble cloak like a me'il, like an actual me'il. This is the bracha that we are more familiar with when we say malbish arumim. So in other words, he was really machshiv this cloak to be a very, very substantial article of clothing. So says the Gemara, Zimnechada Gaza Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Tanisa. One time Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel was Gozer Tanis on the Tzibur, so on the Tanias everybody would come to shul, they would all gather, and they would spend part of the day davening and part of the day being Osik Petzorche Tzibur. However, Rav Yehuda lo asa lebeit Tanisa. Rav Yehuda never came to the base Tanis. And Amrina le lo so Amrina le lo islech suye. So they said, oh, why didn't you come to the Beis Tanis? Is it because you didn't have anything to wear. So the Marshal explains that there are two possibilities here. One possibility is that his wife was out shopping, and therefore he simply didn't have any clothing in order to go to the Beis Medrash with. The other interpretation was that he was embarrassed to go to the Beis Tanis with a cloak that a woman would otherwise wear. Probably the first explanation is more mistaber, because we just saw that he would go to shul every day in this cloak that his wife always used to wear. So the Marshal's first reason is probably what happened here, that his wife was otherwise busy, and therefore Rav Yehuda didn't have anything to wear. So Shadar Le Glima, so Rav Shimon Gamliel wanted Rav Yehuda to come to the Beis Tanis, because he was a big tzaddik, Rav Yehuda. And Rav Yehuda, if he davened, it would help the tefillahs be answered. So they sent him a cloak. They sent him a loner cloak in order to come to shul, the lo kabil, and he didn't accept the cloak. So he didn't want to accept gifts from anybody. He said, Zali Tzifta, so he lifted a mat that was near his doorway, the welcome mat, Viamarle Lishluche Chazuma Ika. So in other words, look what I have here. In other words, he said basically to the Shliach who came to bring the cloak, don't worry about me, don't take sympathy on me. It's not that I'm so impoverished. Look, I have a whole treasure trove here under my welcome mat. Rather, it's mi lonichale de isnu badin alma. I don't want to be nene in this world from all of my possessions. And so he made this nace appear that there was tons of money underneath the welcome mat. And then Yoyada explains that Rav Yehuda made this nace happen so that it shouldn't appear to Rabbi Gamliel that Rav Yehuda was being rude by not accepting the cloak. So he wanted to be able to say, hey, I have enough money. The fact that I don't accept it is just because I don't want to benefit from this world, and therefore he made this nace happen. Says the Gemara now, one of the most famous Gemaras in all of Shas. So Rav Akiva is kadosh le barte de kalba savua. Rav Akiva made a shidduch. He was engaged to the daughter of Kalba Savua. So Kalba Savua was an incredibly rich man. So Shama Kalba Savua. So Kalba Savua heard that his daughter was dating Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva at the time was a total Am Aretz. So Adra Hana Mikol Nechse. So he was Noder Hana that his daughter and Rabbi Akiva should not be able to have Hana from all of his Nechasim. So Azla Vitz Nesiva Le Besifta. They went and they got married in the winter anyway. In other words, she didn't care that her father didn't like the shidduch. She didn't care that her father was no darana from all of his nechasim. She wanted to marry Rabbi Akiva, so they went and they got married in the winter. Haviganu beitivna, and they would sleep in the straw. They didn't even have a regular bed, so they would just sleep in the straw. Havikam minkit le tivna min mezaya. He would pick the straw from her hair because all the straw would get stuck in her hair. And Amar La, and he would say to her, Iavili Ramina le Yerushalayim Dedava Asa Iavale Ramina Lach Yerushalayim Dedava. If I were able to do so, I would buy you the Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. What's the Yerushalayim Shel Zahav? So this is an article of jewelry that we're already familiar with from Masechta Shabbos. It is a tiara. Basically, that the very rich people, a very ornate tiara that the rich people would wear, the rich women would wear on their heads. So also Leo, so they were obviously super, super poor, right? They lived in a barn, essentially. They would sleep in the straw, and the straw would be all over her hair. She was a mess. So also Leo, so Leo came, Idman Lahon Ka'anshe, he appeared like a man, V'kakari Abava, and he was knocking on the door. Amar Louis said, Havali Purta Tativna, the Yaldis Issa Velesli Midam Li Guna. Can somebody please give me some straw because my wife is giving birth and I don't even have any tevin to lie her down on? So, in other words, so Eliyahu Hanavi appeared to be so destitute that he didn't even have any straw. So unlike Rabbi Akiva and his wife, they at least had this barn, they at least had the straw that they were able to sleep on. So in order to make them feel better, so Leo appeared like a man and appeared like somebody who didn't even have anything. He didn't even have any straw. So Amar lo Rabbi Akiva le'intasei. So Rabbi Akiva said to his wife, Chazu gavra dafilu tivni lo islei. So he said, look, there's people who are even more destitute than us. This guy doesn't even have anything. He doesn't even have straw. So Amar Lei, so she said to him, Zil Havi Bei Rav, you know what, go to the Beis Medrash. You should go learn and try to become a Talmud Chacham. Tartis Reishnin, Kameh to Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yeshua. So he went, he learned for 12 years before Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So the Mishlam Tartis Reishnin, at the end of the 12 years, Kasa Lebesa, he was going back to his house, because that was a deal that he made with his wife. He would learn for 12 years. So Shamim Menachor Rebesa, so he heard from behind the house, to Karmelei Chad Rosh Ledebisu, that one of the Rishaim was saying to his wife, Shapar Avid Le'avuch, your father did the appropriate thing by being noder you from having Ana and all of his Nechasim, Chada Delo Domilach. One, because it's not a good shidduch. Why isn't it a good shidduch? Says the Ran, because the families don't match up. They're not compatible because you're from such a prominent family. Rabbi Akiva is from a very simple family, and therefore it's not a glick shidduch. So you shouldn't have gotten married to the guy. The ode, Shavkech, Armelos Chayos Kulun Shanin. Also, he left you basically as a living almana, as a living widow for all of these years, because for the past 12 years you've been here alone, and he's been shtagging in the base medrash. The guy's not taking care of you; he's leaving you like a widow. So Amrlei, so she said to this Rasha, Itzos Lidili, if he would listen to me, Liave Tartis Reishnin Achrenaisa, he would go back and learn for another 12 years. So Amar, so Rabbi Akiva thought to himself, Hol Vyav Sli Rishus, Rishusa, since she's giving me permission to go learn for another 12 years, I may as well do it. So Yadr Lachore, let me turn around. So Hadar Azal Abitartit Reishnin Achrenaisa. So he went back and he learned for another 12 years. So the famous Vart of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz and the Sichas Musar, so he didn't even go say hello. So it's amazing, right? He was gone 12 years. He didn't even go to say hello to his wife before going back for another 12 years. And the Sichas Musar says over here, we learn the power of consecutive learning. That even learning for two 12-year periods with a little break in between is not nearly as powerful as learning for a single 24-year period. And of course, it applies not only to 24 years. I mean, that's incredible. But even if you're learning for a half hour, so we know that learning for a half hour straight without any distractions is much better, is more quality than learning for 15 minutes and taking a break to check whatever, ESPN or whatever. So it's obviously a much better quality learning. So he went back for another 12 years. He was gone for a total of 24. So Asa Be'esrin Va'arba Alfen Zuge Talmidei. So he came back with his 24,000 pair of Talmidim. So Nafakuli Alma Lape, everybody came to greet the Tzaddik. Rabbi Kiva was coming to the town. Fiafi, come to Lamefak Lape. She also went to greet him. Somerly Ahu Rashia, a certain Russia, I don't know whether it's the same Russia as before, but a certain mean-spirited guy said to her, Vatlahecha, where are you going? So Amrle Yodea Tzadik Nefesh Behemto. A Tzadik knows the Nefesh of his Behema. What does that mean? A weird way to speak. We would never speak this way. But what the Ran says is basically Rabbi Akiva appreciates how much I suffered because of him. So the Ran points out that, of course, her father made a neder that she should not have Hana from any of his Nechasim, because she wanted to marry Rabbi Akiva. So he appreciates how much I suffered on his account, and therefore he is going to respect me. So also is Chazuye. So everybody came to see him. So Kamanchel Rabbanan. So she came to see him, and the Rabbanan were pushing her away because here was this destitute woman. She appeared crazy. She was dirty, and she was going to see Rabbi Akiva. They're like, "You get away from the Rebbe." So Amar Lahon Hanichula. So he said to them, "Leave her. Shaliva Shalachem Shalahu. Because what is mine and what is yours really belongs to her." The Ran says, Tarasi v'toraschem bishvilahi. It's all because of her. It's all on her account. Shenosnali eitzah lemezah lebei rav. Because she was the one who gave me the eitzah. She was the one who initially gave me the push to go to yeshiva. And therefore, he attributed everything that he accomplished and that he was able to convey to his students to that inspiration that she pushed him to go to yeshiva. So shama kalba savua. So kalba savua came, heard that the famous Rabbi Akiva came to town, and then realized, oh my God, this is Rabbi Akiva, my son-in-law, who I was so upset that my daughter got engaged to him, that I was no there, her and Rabbi Akiva, from having Ana, from all of my nechasim. So my daughter has been living in poverty. Her husband is now the Gadol Ador, and he felt badly about his neder. So Shama Kalba Savua, Asav Ishtal Al Nidre, Vishtari Ishtari. He was shoal on his neder, and his neder was permitted. So what does it mean? Who was shoal on his neder? Who gave him the permission to abrogate the neder, to disavow the neder? So the Rivash explains that it couldn't have been Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva was an Ergeh Bedavar, right? Because he was standing now to benefit from all of Kalba Sabua's Nechasim. But luckily, he had 24,000 pair of Talmidim right there, so he had a whole bunch of rabbis. So they convened a Beis Din, and they found a Pesach for the neder. So the Pesach for the neder was, had you known that your son-in-law was going to become a Talmud Chacham, would you have made this neder? And he said, had I known that he was going to become a Talmid Chacham, had I known that he would learn even one Mishnah, I wouldn't have made the neder. So the Ran says, and the Ran doesn't appear here in Amud Aleph, the Ran appears in Amud Beis, the Ran says, hang on a second. So how could it be that he was shoal on the neder with this Pesach? Oh, had I known that he would have learned the Mishnah, then I wouldn't have made this neder. The Ran said, I thought that we're not poseach benolad. That when we look for a Pesach, when we look for some explanation, like had I known XYZ, then I wouldn't have made the neder, basically meaning that he made the neder under false pretenses, you can't be poseach ben nolad, meaning nolad is a situation that didn't exist. And at the time that Rabbi Akiva, at the time that Kalba Sabua rather made the neder, Rabbi Akiva Taka was an Amaretz. He didn't know anything. So why isn't the fact that eventually he would become the Gadol Adar, or even though he would know a couple of Mishnayos, why isn't that Nolad? So the Ran explains, because from the outset, he had intent to go to the Beis Medrash, and anybody who has intent to go to the Beis Medrash and to become a Talmid Chacham, it's highly likely that at least he's going to know a Perek HaMishnayis, or that he's going to know a Halacha. And therefore, says the Ran, if a person applies himself to Limud Torah, it's not Nolad if he becomes a Talmid Chacham. It's foreseeable, because that's what happens. When a person applies himself, he is going to become a Talmid Chacham. Kesef Mishnah explains that it's not a problem altogether, because the only thing that you're not allowed to do is a Pesach. There's another means of annulling a neder, which is called charata. Charata doesn't require that the situation not have been extant at the time that the neder was made. So charata is simply regret, and charata is sufficient even if it's stimulated by something that is nolad. So Kalba Savua was shoal on the neder, and the happy ending, Rabbi Kiva became a Talmid Chacham, and then he and his wife were able to benefit from all of Kalba Savua's nechasim. So says the Gemara, now that was only one of the sources of Rabbi Kiva's wealth. Min shis mili iata Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Kiva became very rich from six different things. The Marshal explains that the Gemara tells us about Rabbi Kiva's independent sources of wealth, lest one think that, oh, the way he became so rich was because he ran the biggest yeshiva. He had 24,000 talmidim. Imagine the tuition that he must have charged. He didn't take any tuition from his talmidim. Rather, he only became rich from these things. So, min kalba savua. So he became rich from kalba savua. This is what we learned, that kalba savua had made the nether, then he was shoal on the nether. Min eila desfinta, from the heart, from the wooden deer that's on the bow of a ship. The chol sfinta, because every ship, avdinale min eina, they would make like, you know, like the, some of the old cars used to have like the emblem, like the leaping cat on the front of the Jaguar, or that like super expensive emblem on the front of a Rolls Royce. So like a ship would have a super expensive like wooden deer to symbolize speed, because the deer is a very fast animal, so they wanted to make it like the ship should sail very quickly. So they would make a wooden sculpture in the shape of a deer on the front of a ship. So Zimnechada and Shuye al Kefiyama, they left the wooden heart from the ship on the seashore. So also who Ashkeche. So he came and he found this wooden heart. So in other words, Shita Mekabetza says that there's a lot that the Gemara leaves out. It's a big deal that he found this sculpture of the deer that was from the front of the ship. So Shita Mekabetza explains that Rabbi Akiva, that the merchants publicized that they lost this object. Rabbi Akiva came to them and he told them that they had it, and they were so taken by his honesty that he admitted that he had found the lost object, that they let him keep the lost object. Okay, so he got the money from Kalba Savua so far. Number two, he got the money from this sculpture on the front of the ship. And then, Umin Gavza, from a treasure chest. So what's that about? Zimnechada, because one time, Yoav Arba Zuzay L'Sapeno, he gave four Zuzim to sailors. Samerlu Aisili Midam. So he said, you know what, you guys are going out on an amazing trip, go get me a souvenir. So V'lo'ashkechu Ela Gavzal Kefiyama, all they found was like some little old chest on the side of the river. So you can imagine the rest of the story. So Asiole, so they brought it to him. So Amrle Avid Marna, Avid Marna Alea. So they said, oh, make use of this. In other words, you asked for a souvenir, but we forgot until we were in the gift shop in the airport. So all they had was this, this t-shirt or this whatever. So they gave him like a little treasure chest. So ishtakech tavi moli dinra. So he opened it and taka. It turned out that it was filled with money. So why was this little treasure chest filled with money? Dezim nechada, because one time, tavasa svinta, a ship sank, v'kuli iske havi maches bahu gavza, and all of the profits of the ship were placed in that chest. And that chest remained there until it was found by the sailors. So basically, for a return on 4 zuz, he got a whole treasure chest full of money. So it was a great investment. So Zimna Deminder Skute. Right. Umin Matronusa. The chest was there until it was found by the sailors. Umin Matronusa, he became rich from the Matronisa. So what's the Matronisa? So over here we have to look in the Ran, because again, there's a lot here that the Gemara leaves out. So the Ran is going to tell us a story. So Pam Achas, last Ran on the Daf. So Pam Achas, Hutzurku Rav Akiva V'Talmidim Mos. One time Rav Akiva and his Talmidim needed money. V'olchu Eitzel Matronisa. And they went to a certain rich Roman noble woman. So Amar Lola Rav Akiva, so she said to Rav Akiva, Reini Malava Oscha, I am going to loan you the money. V'tei Atalovev HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Yamarevim. However, you're going to be the borrower, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Yam are going to be the guarantors on the loan. Bedover. So Kabbalah's Manli Piron. So she said, fine, that's a good deal. He set a time to pay back the chov. And when the time came back to pay back the chov, Holchos Matronisa as Fasayam, the Matronisa went to the riverbanks in Umrah, and she said as follows: Ribona Shalom, Goli Vyadula Vanecha, Rabbi Kiva Chole. You just know that now at this time Rabbi Kiva is sick, Vlohoya Beyodula Fra Chovi Chovo, and he wasn't able to be Parea the Chov. So Ra Atari Bedavar, and you're the cosigner, you're the guarantor, so you have to make good on the loan. Miyad Shtatas Bito Shel Kesar. At that moment, the daughter of the Kesar went nuts. Benutla Argas Moli Avanim and Tovos Vidinorizov, and she took a whole chest full of precious stones and money. Vizarkala Tochayam, and she threw it into the river. Vayama Via Bamakam Shaiso Matronisa Yoshevas Alsfasayam. And the current carried the chest to the place where the Matronisa was sitting on the side of the river. Miyad Notla Osa Argas, she took the whole chest, Volkalo, and she went on her way. In other words, a miracle. The Yam was supposed to be the Ari, was supposed to be the guarantor, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw to it that the daughter of the Kesar went nuts and threw a whole bunch of money into the river, and the river basically repaid the chov that Rabbi Akiva had borrowed. But still, how did he become rich? So says the Ran, Liyamim Nisrapi Rabbi Akiva. Eventually, Rabbi Akiva recovered from his illness, and he went to the Matronisa, Mosaviyado, and he had his money, Liparon Chovo, in order to pay back the chov. Amrlo, but she said to him, Chazarti Etzela Arevu, I went to the guarantor, to the Yam, and the guarantor repaid the entire chov. And you basically deserve all that which is in excess of the amount that I loaned you, because I was already paid back from the Yarev. So Rabbi Kiva then went and invested that money, and from that money he became rich. So far we have Kalba Savua, we have the ornament on the front of the ship, we have the treasure chest, we have the Matronisa, and Umin Ishto Shel Turnus Rafas. Also from the Ashes Turnus Rafas. What's about the Ashes Turnus Rafas? So again, we need the Ran, because the Gemara totally leaves this out. So it says the Ran on top of now Nun Amid Beis. Shrei Rav Akiva Mekapcho Bekroi Bifnei Kesar. So Rav Akiva would always get into these debates with Turnus Rafas, and he would agitate him, because Rav Akiva would always best him in the debates. So Pamachas Balabeso, one time Turnus Rafas came to his house, Sar Vizof, and he was very upset. So Amar Lo Ishto, so his wife said to him, Mimnei Mapanecha Zoafim, why are you so upset? So Amar Lo, so he said to her, Mimnei Rav Akiva Shemekantarosi Bechol Yom Bidvarim, because Rav Akiva, I always debate him, and he always beats me at debate club. So Amr Lo, Elo Keyem Shel Elu Sone Zimahu, that the God of the Jews hates promiscuity. So tainli rishos ve'achshel osa b'dvar ravera. So give me permission, and I'm going to be machshel him in a dvar ravera. So nasal rishos. So we gave her permission to try to be machshel Rabbi Akiva in sin. V'nis kashta, and she got all made up. V'hol kala etzel Rabbi Akiva, and he went, and she went to Rabbi Akiva. She was trying to cause him to be unfaithful. Kishra Rabbi Akiva osa. When Rabbi Akiva saw her, rok sakach ubacha. He spat, he laughed, and he cried. So Amra lo, so she said to him, Ma enach, hanach plas milan, what's up with this? I mean, you have these three odd reactions. So Amra lo, shnayim afarei, shlichi lo afarei. I'll explain to you why I did two of them. I'm not going to explain to you why I did the third. Rakakti, I spat, achabasa metipas rucha, because even though you're a very beautiful woman now, you came from nothing. Bechisi al haishofra debali ba'ara. And I cried because eventually this beauty is going to be swallowed up by the ground when you die. Bu sachak, now he didn't explain why he laughed, but he laughed because shatsafa baruch hakodesh asidol esgayu ilinasei lov la rasul adia. Because he saw that she was eventually going to meet esgayer, and Rabbi Akiva was going to marry her. But Rabbi Akiva didn't want to tell her that that's what was going to happen. So Amra lo, klum yesh tshuva. So she said to Rabbi Akiva, probably the Gemara is leaving, the Ran is leaving something out of the story. I guess she was so taken by Rabbi Akiva's response. She said, is there such a concept called tshuva? So Amra lo, hein. So he said, yes, you could do tshuva. So holcham in his guy, Rav, and isos lo, the Rabbi Akiva, and isos lo, mam and harbe. So she went, she became a giyoresh, she married Rabbi Akiva, and she brought a lot of wealth into Rabbi Akiva's household. And that was the fifth source of Rabbi Akiva's wealth. And the sixth was Umin Katia Bar Shalom, and also from Katia Bar Shalom. So Katia was a Roman nobleman who advised the Caesar to not to exterminate the Jews. So the Caesar didn't like people who advised him not to harm the Jews. So the Caesar decided that Katia Bar Shalom should be buried alive. But before he was buried, Katia gave away all of his possessions to Rabbi Akiva. He also performed the milah on himself in an act of tshuva before he died. So again, Rabbi Akiva was the beneficiary of all of Katia's wealth. Says the Gemara in Avaiter, two dots, second line on Nun Amid Beis. Rav Gamda Yoav Dalet Zuzei Lesapanoi. Rav Gamda gave four zuzim to sailors, Lasuye Bemidam, to get something, just like Rabbi Akiva done also. Lo Ishkechu, they didn't find anything. So Asiula Baon Kupa, so they bought a monkey instead. Okay, so there's some souvenir. So they got him a monkey. So Ishtamet, the monkey escaped. Olicharta, he went into a hole in the ground. Chafrua Basrei, they dug after the monkey to go try find the souvenir monkey. So Ashkechua Duravia al Margilisa. And they saw that the monkey was crouching on a whole pile of pearls. So they gave all of those pearls to Rav Gamda. The Marshal explains the sailors went lefnim ashuras adin when they gave the pearls to Rav Gamda, because the monkey wasn't even in Rav Gamda's rishos when it went when it was crouching on the pearls. But they knew they were erlich. They knew that they wanted to give him the monkey. The monkey had then found the pearls, so it was kedai that they give him rather that they give him. All of these pearls. So Amar Le Bar Kesar, the Rabbi Shua ben Chananya. So another story. The Bar Kesar, the Bas Kesar, the daughter of the Kesar, said to Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, Torah Mfuera Bekli Mechur. Wow, such beautiful Torah and such an ugly vessel. In other words, the Rush explains that Rabbi Yeshua was Shachar. His complexion was very dark because he used to fast all the time. So she was not complimenting him. She was commenting on the fact that he was a very ugly person, and that it was ironic in a sense that all of this beautiful Torah resided in a very ugly person. I learned to be ugly from your father's house. What do you mean? So what do they store wine in your father's house? So Amrale, so she said, Bamani de Pachra, in earthenware vessels. So Amrale, so he said to her, Kuli Alma Bapachra Vaso Bamani de Pachra. Everybody stores their wine in earthenware vessels. You should store your wine in earthenware vessels as well in the house of the Caesar. Sason achita b'mani de kaspa bezava. You should store your wine in gold and silver vessels. So also sforamet chamre b'mani de kaspa bezava v'sari. So she took his advice. She went and she stored the wine in gold and silver vessels. And what happens if you store wine in gold and silver? You see, when you pour your wine into a silver kiddush cup, even for 5 minutes on Friday night, it tastes disgusting. So all the wine soured. So Amar La Afaraisa Kane. So he said, oh, even Torah is like this, that the uglier the storage vessel, the better the Torah keeps. Says the Gemara, wait, time out. Va'ika Shapirin v'gamirin. She says to him, but there are people who are not quite as ugly as you, who are also big Talmidei Chachamim. So it's not true that Torah can only be kept in the body of somebody who is an exceedingly ugly person. So says the Gemara, Amarlei, Iavi Sunni, Avi Gamirin Tvei. He said, if they were bad looking, they would be even smarter. So this obviously doesn't mean that good-looking people can't know a lot of Torah. The Marsha says this has to all do about the attitude that one has to his physical appearance and to beauty, that if one is going to place an emphasis on physical appearance and he's not going to focus on panemius, well, then Torah, which is all about panemius, is not going to take hold in him. Whereas if a person has the proper attitude about material things and about physical appearance, then the Torah is going to flourish in that person. Okay, says the Gemara Navaitar, he da Asya l'kamei de Rav Yehuda min Arda l'dine. There was a woman who came before Rav Yehuda min Arda to a din Torah, v'schayev min dina, and he gave her a verdict, a decision that she didn't like. So, Umrelei, Shmuel Rabba chachi danin, so she tried to trash talk him. So she said to Rav Yehuda, oh, would Shmuel, your Rebbe, have given me the same psak? So Amrele, Yadale, you know Shmuel? So Amrele, so she said to him, in, I know him, Gutsa, he's short, Viraba Kresi, and he's pot-bellied, Ucham, he has a dark complexion, Viraba Shini, and he has long teeth. Meaning she was giving a very unfavorable physical description of Shmuel. So Amrele, Livzuye Kasis, did you intend to be Mavaza, my Rebbe Shmuel, when we're having this conversation? Te'avi ha'yitza b'shamtza pako mesa. So he put that woman in cherem, her stomach burst, and she died. Okay, that's the end of the story time. And now we go back to what we were discussing yesterday in the Mishnah. So again, what we were saying was that if a person is noder from tavshil, tavshil means anything that's eaten with bread. So what's typically eaten with bread? Not solid food. Not solid food is eaten with bread. Solid food, unless you're a Babylonian, you're achle nahama benahama, not eaten with bread. So then the Mishnah had said, the Mishnah had given us certain examples of food that are not eaten with bread, and therefore are able to be eaten even though you were noder from tavshil. So we said that one of them was a beitza turmita. So when we didn't explain what a beitza turmita is, says the Gemara, my beitza turmita, what is a beitza turmita? So Amar Shmuel, avda the avid le shavi alfe dinre. So first of all, an eved who knows how to make a beitza turmita, you should pay him a very, very high salary. He's a very, very good eved. So umayale alfa zimna b'maya de chamimi v'alfa zimna b'maya de kariri. Basically, you put the egg, you dip the egg 1,000 times in hot water, then 1,000 times in cold water. Ad de misutra, until it shrinks. Kiechi de balate, so that you could swallow it all at once. Now, what's the purpose of this little mini egg that you swallow all at once? Now it gets a little gross. Vim is keva, and if there is an affliction, if you're ill, then sarichala, then some residue forms on this egg. Vekad nafka vaasya yode asya mai sama. And when you excrete the egg, it has residue of whatever disease is in your body. So you could bring the egg to a doctor, and the doctor can examine the egg and figure out, based on the residue that's on the egg, what is ailing you. And based on that, he can make a diagnosis, and he can give you the right medicine. So it basically had this ability to help cure people. So my sama mitboile uba my mitse, and the doctor could tell what medicine is required and how this person could be healed. Now Shmuel avi badek nafshe bekulcha. Shmuel would be bodek himself with a head of cabbage. So what does it mean with a head of cabbage? That similarly, he would eat the head of cabbage. The head of cabbage wouldn't be digested. It would come out in his excrement, and he would bring it to a doctor. Marsha says that, the Ran says rather, that Shmuel simply didn't know how to make the beitza termita. Had he known how to make the beitza termita, he would have been bodek himself with the beitza termita. But again, it took a very special eved to know how to make a beitza termita. Shmuel didn't know how to do it, so he would check himself with a head of cabbage. Ad demisterin inche beisei alea seorein. And he would check himself with a head of cabbage until the women in his household unbraided their hair because of the tsar, meaning that they were distressed because Shmuel was in so much pain from checking himself with a head of cabbage, he would ultimately faint. And when he fainted, all the women in the house would freak out and they would unbraid their hair. But that's how Shmuel checked himself. So says the Gemara Vayter, Tanan Hasam, Ya'ose b'chuflufsin lo yochal b'bno sheva. If workers are working in a field and they're working with a type of fig, they shouldn't eat another type of fig. The halacha is that workers are allowed to take to eat from that which they are working with, but they shouldn't take to eat from something that is not what they are working with. So if they're working on one type of fig or with one type of fig, it shouldn't eat from the other type of fig. Bivnosheva lo yochal beklufsin. If they're working with Bivnosheva, they shouldn't eat the klufsin figs. So my klufsin. So what are klufsin? What are klufsin? So mina de teine da avdin minhon lafte. It's a type of fig that they would make a dish of cooked figs. So gavra. They have avda lechavre lagmure alfa mine lafte. There was once a maisa where a guy gave his eved to his friend, and the condition was that the friend should teach the eved how to make 1,000 types of this cooked fig dish. So agmure tamnimeya, that instead the guy couldn't teach the eved how to make 1,000 types of this dish. He only taught him how to make 800 types of this cooked fig dish. So Azmanei Ledine, so he summoned him to a Din Torah, because he said, I said that you were supposed to teach him 1,000 types. You only taught him 800 types. So Azmanei Ledine Lekame de Rebbe. So he summoned him to a Din Torah in front of Rebbe. So Amar Rebbe, Avasenu Amru, Nashinu Tova Anu, Afilu Beinenu Roreinu. We've forgotten luxury. In other words, we never even saw these things in our eyes. And this is a quote from Megillas Eichas. In other words, what we're saying over here is that Rebbe himself was the Nasi, and so Rebbe was incredibly wealthy. But even for somebody of incredible wealth, this level of excess that the guy got offended, that he felt he was gypped because he wanted his Eved to learn how to make 1,000 types of this crazy dish, and he was only taught 800 types, he thought that level of luxury was just excessive. To illustrate maybe a little bit how wealthy Rebbe was, so Rebbe Avelele Lule L'Rav Shimon B'Rebbe. So Rebbe made a wedding feast for Rav Shimon B'Rebbe, and the backstory is that Rebbe did not invite Bar Kapra. So he did not invite. Bar Kapara to the wedding. So Kosav al Beis Ginnina. So Bar Kapra went to the wedding hall and he scrawled graffiti on the wall of the wedding hall because he was upset that Rebbe didn't invite him to the wedding. Esrin va'arba alfin riboin dinrei nafak al Beis Ginnina. Din velo azmene le Bar Kapra. The Rebbe spent 240 million dinar on the wedding hall, and he still didn't invite Bar Kapara. So the Ben Yoyoda says, don't get too excited. This is obviously a guzma. That 240 has some sort of Kabbalistic reference or Kabbalistic meaning, but obviously the wedding hall didn't cost $240 million. Some actually explain, no, it did, but don't worry, it wasn't only the hall. This was actually the house that someone's going to live in. Still, it's an insane amount of money, obviously, and in the R scroll, he does the calculation. It's worth like tens of millions of dollars in today's money. It's obviously a guzma. So in other words, the point was, you make such an extravagant, you had a 1,000-person wedding, and you couldn't invite Bar Kapara to the wedding. So Amar Lei, so he said, so ilo ovde ritzono kach lotzu ritzono alachas kama vakama. So in other words, if the ovre ritzono, if those who don't comport with the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning he was referencing Rebbe, because he said, Rebbe HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have wanted you to invite me to the wedding. So if those who don't follow the will of God have such wealth, imagine how much those who do follow the will of God would have had. Now it turns out that Rebbe didn't invite Bar Kapara to the wedding because Bar Kapara was a very jocular person. He always made jokes, and Rebbe didn't invite him for fear that Bar Kapara would bring him to laughter. And so Bar Kapara was chiding Rebbe for not inviting him to the wedding. So Azmanei, say the Rebbe felt pressured. So what's he going to say now? So Bar Kapora called him out. He already scrawled the graffiti on the wedding hall. He said, oh, you didn't invite me. So Rebbe said, you know what? This is not a Kamsa Bar Kamsa story. You're invited also. So come to the wedding. So Amar Li Osir Ritzona Bola Mazeh Kafli Olam Abba Alachas Kama Vakama. Ah, if the Osir Ritzona, meaning Bar Kapora, the reward is that finally he gets invited to the wedding of the year. Imagine the reward that's going to await him in the world to come. So we'll stop here at the two dots. Tomorrow we will pick up with a discussion of what happened at Rebbe's son's wedding, to which Bar Kapora was ultimately invited. Hope everybody has a wonderful day.